Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Urban Pitch.
I mean, if you want to hit it, you do it. Yo, what is going on? And welcome to another episode of the Urban Pitch Podcast, the beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. I'm Ramsey Abushala, editor of UrbanPitch.com. Bridget Flores is back.
She's back,
after,
baby.
After a mild hiatus. Bridget Flores, co-executive director of Vibes. Julio Monterosa, he had a bit of a food poisoning scare himself yesterday. So he, unlike some people, he makes it through the adversity.
We make it happen. I got to tug it out sometimes.
Interesting.
Tug it out.
Say more.
No.
Don't worry. Bridget's going to miss in about two episodes. She's going to miss again. And then Bridget does.
We have Bridget on a two-way contract. Yeah. So she's up for one.
I'm down on probation
for
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. We're very excited because today, just like our last episode with the Holding the Highline podcast, we're doing another joint episode with another podcast, Claudia Pagan, who is a reporter for DC United. You might have seen her. If you're in the soccer space, you definitely have seen a lot of the work that she's done with United and outside. But she's starting a new podcast, Dimelo Podcast. And we were honored to be able to talk with her and be on her feed as well as her on ours. So keep a lookout on your podcast channels for that. That should be launching soon. But first, before we get into that interview,
no, but 2024 we collaborate with everybody. So hit us up.
Yeah, for real.
I know.
This space is for everybody.
I'm like, you got something to say?
I know, yeah. I thought, yeah.
Bridget, stop missing. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, no. If y'all miss me, just say that. Yeah. I'm trying to test out the audience to see if they notice anything.
Yeah,
you know?
Crazy. Yeah, yeah, the, like, the views go higher when you're not here. I think your test has been confirmed.
I think it backfired. Yeah. Oh man, don't fire me.
Yeah, but before we get into it, so it was opening weekend. So this is going to, we're recording
MLS
this a little
is
bit.
Back,
yeah,
baby.
We're recording this a little bit in advance. So this is MLS opening weekend. But before we get into that, if you're watching this on the YouTubes, we got some brand new cans from our friends at Absolution Brewery. They're OGs day ones from the when we started this podcast. They've been supporting, so shouts to them.
Bridget's shout out to Randy.
Bridget's got the wild.
I've got a Michelada. It's like a challenge beer right here.
Tell me you got a small one without telling me you got a small one.
This is the Howler, it's pretty good. It's pretty fire. It's a Michelada. Shout out to Absolution for knowing that I love Micheladas because that's my vibe.
Yeah.
Shout out to the sour. They know I like some sours.
Yeah. They got the sours for Julio. They got the IPAs. I got a golden lager here. I can't mess with the IPAs.
We gotta switch it up.
You know, yeah, switch it up too. But the sours is fantastic.
And look at the design too, though.
Yeah, the can. You always gotta appreciate a good can because I mean it's the first thing you see when you're looking to buy something. You always say don't judge a book by its cover.
Remember as a kid eating a Lunchable with a high C?
That's the adult high
version.
C.
Yeah, that's right.
Shouts to Absolution again. fantastic brewery. If you want to go watch out, hang out, watch a game. They got games in the back. They get games out front. They got a food truck. A lot of times we were just there this weekend for emo night. So we were rocking out to some
emo night was crazy.
Some Paramore. Yeah. We got some Fall Out Boy. So
and it's a great Galaxy viewing parties.
Yeah,
it's a Galaxy official bar.
Yeah,
brewery. Yeah. I'm sorry, but yeah, shout out. And if you see Randy, say what's up to him. Great friend of the pod.
Yeah. But LAFC opening game, y'all were there. I played 27 holes of golf.
I wish I did what you did instead.
Yeah. My lower back is absolutely shot right now. I got the lower lumbar support right here. But what were the vibes? Because I caught the game. I saw the highlights on the Apple TV season pass. I mean, LAFC looked pretty good. Yeah. But what was? I mean, we don't want to talk about what happened on the field because you know the results speak for themselves. But what was going on in the stadium? What were the vibes like? What was it like to be back in the back at BMO? Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops, all throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime for your desktop or mobile devices. Head to Bet Online today to become part of the team and to remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here.
Yeah, I think I will just start off by saying that we had LAFC is back week, so everything that led into the first home opener back for the season was great. I think that's one of the biggest things that I appreciate and I love about LAFC is very intentional about being in the community, supporting the fans that support the team throughout the season. And I think that there's no better way to just value that in by doing what they do with the community. And I know other teams do that as well. So it's super exciting because they get to hype up the fans by being with the fans. Like, there's no better way to do that for the first game than in that way. So leading up to it was fun, and it was exciting to see all the fans coming out to different community events. And like, everyone was super hyped to be back inside the stadium. The game day, it was nice. The field was brand new, looked clean. Everyone was super excited to be inside the stadium, outside the stadium. Everyone showed up, showed out. The energy was there. The excitement was there. The vibes were there. There's a lot of new things in the stadium as well, so that was cool. And I just have to say, the jerseys, the kits are clean. Yeah. Like, everyone was rocking it. And it just looks super, super nice. It was super dope.
What are some of the new features in the stadium?
We have a few new, like, food spots.
Okay.
The Mario Michelada. Mario Chelada is one of the new additions to it. Obviously, BMO is the official sponsor of our kits. So we have a lot of that as well. And then obviously the kit itself. And then the store, the HQ store, was going crazy. I know people were buying merch, a lot of merch at the store. They had a little Ollie the Falcon stuffed pillow, and that went crazy too. I think it might have sold out, I'm not sure. But just everything, you know, like leading into the new season. And it only just adds to the excitement, the fact that they won.
Yeah.
It was sick.
Yeah, I talked about how I didn't like the pinstripes last week. Last episode about.
Ooh.
I was not happy, but I saw the jersey up front. Like,
yeah, seeing a jersey in person, yes. The same thing I had to correct myself last year with the green away kit last year. Because the photos that you see online, it doesn't do justice to the color. You see it in person, it's more closer to the sweater that Bridget's wearing than, like, it almost looked like a tan in the photos. And then the smoke, you could see it a lot more clearly. So I did a little bit of a 180 last year, but definitely seeing the kit in person makes a much
I saw my
bigger.
Little nephew rock it, so I was like, all right.
He looks so cute.
Yeah. Like, all right,
Jay. He was stunned for sure.
The baby jerseys always get me. Like, I cannot with the, oh my God. But, baby jerseys be hidden.
But just seeing Seattle's jersey up front too. Like,
Seattle's coke hard.
Right? Okay. And let's talk about that too, because if you really look at it, it's literally a similar like aesthetic, similar like lining to the LAFC one, but it's a lighter color, different shades of green.
A little bit thicker stripes.
But thicker stripes, So it's still kind of on the stripe side of things. But I feel like the stripes are kind of doing well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like two of the best MLS jerseys going after a bit, going to the day experience. Yeah, just being in a tree lane, it seemed like a lot of people, everybody was hype.
I had a little bit of food poisoning, so 35 minutes into the game,
had to go home.
I had to go. So, but other than that, my season tickets. Shout out to me, I'm a season ticket holder.
Oh, period.
My season tickets are right now, like close to the support section. The support sections for the opposing team.
Oh, okay.
So just seeing how hyped they were.
Yeah, the Seattle fans travel. They travel well.
Oh my god,
yeah.
They travel. Yeah. And they're crazy.
That. Yeah,
they
yeah.
would. They sang. Go, yeah. They go so. It was seeing that it was amazing. 32-52.
Always showing up.
Oh, that yeah. TFO that they came up with at the beginning. Like,
yeah, crazy.
Shout out to the 32-52, man. Yeah. Y'all always know how to do things right.
They know how
but
to do it.
For those 30 minutes that I was there, like, great, great experience. It just showed that MLS is back, and it got me hyped for this
yeah.
new season.
Yeah.
And next week I'm going to another season opener, so I'm hyped.
Yeah, we're very hyped for MLS to be back, and we're very excited to be covering the start of the season. So keep it tapped in with us. Make sure you subscribe turn those notifications on, because we will be covering MLS throughout the whole season. But before we get into that, we're very excited for this conversation with Claudia Pagan and starting the new Dimelo podcast. So check
Dimelo.
That out. Dimelo.
Say it with your chest.
Dimelo.
I know. I always get nervous. I get nervous around you guys. Like, normally I'm like,
Dimelo.
I stuttered a little bit even when we were talking to her. But like being around you guys, I get self-conscious
Why?
About my pronunciation, because I'm always like,
you
know, I know you do. I know you do. It's not a question of what you guys support me. It's a question of I don't feel right saying.
You
with
should.
That's a song. Dimelo. Dimelo, papi.
Dimelo. The Dimelo podcast.
Hey!
So we're excited that we're going to get into that podcast with Claudia. So let's get into it.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. All right, we're here with Claudia Pagan, the Dimelo podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to streaming services soon. It's so great to have you on. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. What's going on?
Thank you guys for having me. I've already seen your guys' content like all over the place always, but I knew when I was coming on, I was like, all right, like let me binge watch all the episodes that I haven't seen. So I'm so happy to finally be here. I was watching heavily the one that you guys did with Moises Linares, and I got to see him last night too. So he was a great one for you guys to have, but I'm so happy to finally be on with you guys.
Yes. Yeah,
that one was good mostly because I wasn't there.
Yeah, because he wasn't there.
But, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Moises is like, it's crazy how we even had him in a pod. Him and my cousin, they grew up together. So yeah. This is before me even knowing of Moises, but I always heard. I have a good friend that works with Telemundo. He did a special on his cousin that plays in El Salvador now, Hurston, and Hurston and me grew up playing soccer as well. So we were bound to meet, and we happy we had him on the pod.
Yeah,
no, he's awesome. He surprised me last night. I was like, what are you doing here? He had called the first DC United game. So it's so good to see him, because I got to work with him for a couple years while he was doing our Spanish local broadcasts for DC United. So it's really nice to see that he's back with Audi with Apple for a second year in a row calling all the games.
Yeah. Lo canto, lo canto, lo canto, lo canto, lo canto.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the best call in Spanish.
Yes, yeah, it is.
It is. We were talking about that and just like, his journey, his trajectory. He's a great guy. He's very inspiring. And it's super cool. That's also what I love about like the soccer football community, is that in some way you kind of know someone that knows someone, and then it circles back to you. So having you here with us and knowing that that's someone you got to work with already says a lot of great things about you.
Yeah, it's great.
And plus, all Salvadorians, I'm a Salvadorian as well. We all know each other some way, somehow.
Right.
And the DMV has a big Salvadorian community, so it was bound for me to meet him somehow.
Yeah, yeah. But enough about Moises. Let's talk about you.
We're here. Moises.
We're with you. DC United reporter, you started the podcast. Like, you've been in the soccer space, the media space now. Talk about your journey growing up as a fan. How did you get into soccer? What made you pursue sports media? And what led you to where you're at today?
Oh, man. I'm a person. Obviously, I talk for a living. So I might end up talking a lot. So I'm going to try to keep myself in check because I might end up talking a lot.
This is the format for this. You know, we're not here for the TikTok one-minute clips.
About
this
is long about form. You.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it going. We've been talking for a lot this year. So it's all you.
This episode is going to be like 2 hours long. Then. I was born and raised in the DMV area, DC, Maryland, Virginia. When I say that, people are like the Department of Motor Vehicles. Like, no. DC, Maryland, Virginia. That's what it stands for here. I was born and raised in Maryland. And so I've been in this area my entire life. I grew up playing soccer. I played travel soccer for 10 years. I played for my high school team, and I knew I didn't want to play in college. But growing up, I always went to DC United games with friends. My dad would take me. So, like, I've been a DC United fan forever. Jaime Moreno was my favorite player growing up. It also helps that my dad's name is also Jaime. So I was like, oh, mira, Jaime. So that also played a little bit into it. I grew up with soccer, which is a bit random because, you know, like, the Caribbean and Puerto Ricans, like, soccer is not a big sport, but it's the one that stuck. I used to do camps growing up, and I did like a basketball camp, and the only reason I liked it was because we would get fast food for lunch, which, looking back at it, isn't the healthiest thing. But I got into tennis and all that other stuff, so I've always been like a big sports type person. So when I quit soccer going into college, I was studying journalism, and I kind of found myself back in the sports world, but now on the other side of things, getting to cover athletes, teams. So I went to the University of Maryland. So I started working with the men's basketball team while I was in undergrad there. They wanted students on campus to kind of help create extra content on top of what was already being created by the people that worked with the team. So I had started off like just being behind the scenes, recording like a student reporter on camera, doing interviews with the players and stand-ups and all that stuff. And then one time she just like stopped and left. And they're like, all right, Claudia, well, you're the only one here, so we're going to throw you on camera. I was like, what are you? I've never done this before. I locked myself in a room. I tried memorizing maybe like a 3-sentence script to say on camera. I couldn't get it out. It took me like 45 minutes. I look back at it and it's horrible, but you have to start somewhere, don't you? Mm-hmm. So that's how I started off with doing the on-camera stuff. That's how I found myself back in the sports world. And then I stuck with them doing that all of my undergrad. I graduated from Maryland and then stayed on as a production assistant in like the broadcasting and video production department, covering all the sports at Maryland. So I was doing all the production assistant duties, which was like all the behind the scenes stuff. But then they also let me do all the on-camera stuff for their social media channels for all 19 sports at Maryland. So I was getting to still cover men's basketball, but then I was covering women's basketball, softball, men's and women's soccer, which was really cool because while I was there, the men's team won the national championship in, 2018, I think is what it was. So that was cool to cover them. Football days are long. You get there so early and you wouldn't leave until late. But I did get to work with a lot of really great people. And then during that time, I had actually also started interning at DC United, all my start is like behind the camera, filming, editing. I still do love doing that stuff. So I was a video production assistant for DC United, and then I stayed on for the rest of the season because it was a summer internship that was in 2016. And then 2017 and 2018, I stayed on as game day staff. So I was just a videographer on DC United game days. And then towards the end of 2018, they're like, all right, well, we have an open position now. You're clearly not going anywhere. Like, well, no, I'm not going anywhere. So can you just freaking please hire me now?
Right.
So I got hired at the beginning of 2019. I've been with DC United ever since. So I've been here a long, long time. And originally when I joined them, it was like half behind the scenes filming and editing and then half some on-camera stuff. And it just kind of naturally worked out where I was doing social media stuff on camera, but then I also got to start doing sideline reporting for the local broadcasts because we were doing that all before Apple started. So every single year, my role has changed and shifted a little bit with DC United just as things change with social media and content. And now Apple has taken over, so I don't do the local broadcasts, but I still now do. Now I've changed to doing like in-stadium hosting for DC United. I'll do pregame interviews, postgame interviews, all that goes on the video board. Doing content that goes on Apple's on the Apple MLS season pass, doing still stuff for social media for DC United. So that's my story, as short as I tried to sum it up.
I mean, it's a great story. It's a great journey. It sounds like you kind of went into it. You had obviously the background and the passion behind soccer, but you knew kind of where you wanted that to end and what you wanted it to look like, I guess. I feel like a lot of people have a hard time doing that, especially in college. Like, what is it that made you feel like journalism was where you wanted to go?
Ooh, good question. Okay, so I'll throw it back to seventh grade. Seventh grade, I don't know what happened, but I got bit by like a reading bug. I was reading 6 to 7 books a week. My dad would take me every single week to the library to get a big stack of books. I would read them all. I was a bit of a nerdy kid, I'll admit it. I was a bit of a nerdy kid. But because I also played sports, I still, you know, got to hang out with the athletes.
Called balance.
Exactly. Exactly. So I got along with everybody in middle school and high school, which I'm very proud of. I always had my little groups. So I was a bit of a nerd. I was also an after care kid. Okay. So like my parents couldn't pick me up as soon as the bell rung and school was out in middle school at like, I don't know, 2:50 or something. Like, I didn't get picked up until like 5.
Right.
So I would have 2 recesses a day, 1 during school hours and then 1 after school. I would stay inside. And if I was forced to go outside, I would stay inside to read. And if I was forced to go outside, like, hell yeah, I was bringing my book to sit on the grass and read. Total nerd here. So from that, because like I love the storytelling, I love the reading, I then got into writing my own books, which I will never share. Never, never. I actually think it's still on the internet somewhere because I started publishing my stories online for people to read.
We're linking that in the show notes.
We're going to look for them. We're going to
do some deep web crawling.
The episode, we're going to start the episode reading one of your stories.
I'll be mortified. Oh my God. And I was handwriting. I was like handwriting the books, like, the way you read the novel, I was handwriting that stuff. I don't know why I was so dramatic that way. Was it typing it on a laptop?
Right.
You could have used a typewriter as well. Like, handwriting is the old school way of doing it.
It was intense. So it's funny, though, because like I had the girls in my like 7th and 8th grade classes like reading my little novels. Aww, in a little book that would get passed around. And I know, so supportive. And it's funny because one of my friends was like, listen, when you get published, I'm going to be your editor. PBD on if that ever happens. But the teacher in one of the classes, I think she was like the religion teacher or history teacher, she got it and she's like threatened to like read the novel out loud to the class.
No.
I'm like, please don't. Like, obviously there's nothing bad in it. I'm like, it's 7th and 8th grade. But I was like, please don't read it out loud. This is gonna be so embarrassing. So I got the book back at the end. But that's where like everything kind of started. So then when I went into high school, I loved reading, love writing. In high school, I started doing like creative writing classes and all that stuff. And I did, newspaper class, which then like my last year in high school turned into, instead of a newspaper, we were kind of doing like a really cool like magazine. Mm-hmm. So I would be writing stories, I would be laying out everything. So then from there, I was like, okay, well, like, I love this interviewing. I love storytelling. I love the feature pieces. So I went to Maryland to study journalism. And when you study at Maryland, at least this is how it used to be, it's not anymore, you would either be like a broadcast journalism major or you'd be multi-platform. So I did multi-platform thinking that I wanted to write feature pieces in magazines. I'm still kind of storytelling in a way. But that's how it's all happened. It's crazy to think, like, here I am, and in seventh grade is how all of it mm-hmm. started.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the magazine industry is really booming now.
it's a great really thriving out here
to get into. as someone that studied journalism as well, like I can relate to a lot of that. And but getting into the space and seeing just kind of like, you know, you've seen the stuff with like Sports Illustrated, Vice, Pitchfork getting kind of like bought out. Like it's a little bit discouraging to be in this space. But how would you like, because there's still a lot of people that want to get into this space. And I was just talking to someone, a kid in high school, and I told him, you know, what I did, and I told him about Urban Pitch, and he's like, dude, that's exactly what I want to do. Aww. And I wanted to say, like, hey, man, like,
figure it out.
I've heard that the coal mining industry is doing a little bit better than the journalism industry. I wanted to tell him that, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want to, like discourage anyone. So like what kind of advice would you give to people that want to get into the space? Because I still think there's a lot of opportunities, just not in the more traditional way, right? Like at least when I was coming up reading, you know, these different publications that were like institutions that may be like shells of their former selves. But what is your biggest advice to people trying to get into the space?
I think our industry is so unique because, like, I mean, I even think about it. I have so many thoughts. I need to narrow it down. Mm-hmm. So our industry is super unique because the stuff that we do, like, this didn't exist X amount of years mm-hmm. ago. Like, I'm sure people like 20 years ago weren't like, I want to start a podcast. Like, what the hell is a podcast? 20 years ago or however long ago? It's like, what is that? And even like for me, 2 years ago when Apple said that they were going to take over and I wasn't going to do local broadcasts anymore, like I was hosting a 30-minute pregame show. This was on NBC Sports Washington, which is a big local station here. So I was getting like a lot of eyes on what I was doing. I hosted a 30-minute pregame show, and then I would do sideline reporting and then postgame show. And then Apple came in and they're like, actually, we're taking over. You guys aren't doing this anymore. And I was like, well, this is what I've been doing for so many years. This is what I study. This is what I have been doing for so long. Like, what do you mean I'm not going to do this anymore? And I had like a little moment of panic because I'm like, well, then like, what the heck am I supposed to do? But that's why I say that our industry is so unique, because then you find a way to pivot. Like, you don't just have to do on-camera stuff. Like, my career was not over just because I wasn't going to do broadcast anymore. Like, I pivoted. I started doing some reporting on social media, which you can argue that you'll get more views on your content on social media than you might like on a local broadcast. And there's just so many things that you can do. And like, I feel like I was used as an example, and it's perfect. So I think I want to make sure I pronounce it right. I think it's Rachel Bonetta has been in the space forever. Yeah. She's been with like Fox. She did NFL. Like she's been all over. And I thought it was so interesting that when the, what's it called? The World Cup was in Russia, right? 2018 or something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she was with Fox Sports then, and she went to the World Cup to do coverage with Fox Sports. Not once was she ever on like traditional TV, but she did a live show every single day on Fox Sports Twitter. Mm. Like, not once was she on TV, which I'm sure she like had worked hard to do, and I saw her doing stuff like on traditional TV, but she went there and covered stuff like on Twitter. So like, there's so many different avenues for what we want to do, and you don't need to be with a network or like a major publication to do it. Like, you guys created your own space. Like, that is the beauty of it. And I've seen all the interviews you guys have gotten to do. You guys have interviewed like incredible people in this industry. Like, you guys are getting great interviews. Like, you don't need, you can create your own path.
And oh, stop it.
You're like, keep going. They aren't paying me to say all these nice things. These are my real words. Like, you guys have done, I mean, like, and I think you guys, just using yourself as an example, is perfect. Like, you guys have been able to get those interviews. And I think that is really encouraging for kind of like the next generation that want to do this stuff. You can create your own stuff. Jenny Chu is also a perfect example.
Yeah.
She got scouted by, so she did what I did. She's now with CBS Sports doing incredible things. But before that, she was doing what I do with Orlando City in MLS. And she said that she had gotten scouted because she had been doing an internship with the Portland Timbers, and she was just doing vlogs on YouTube. And she got scouted to do on-camera stuff for Orlando City. She was doing their TV. She was doing their social media. And it's like, if she hadn't put those vlogs up, like, mm-hmm. who knows where mm-hmm. she would be? And mm-hmm. now she's covering local, national. She's on national TV. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's so many different avenues. And, like, I hope people just don't get discouraged by, oh, I need this internship. Or right. even, like, you don't need a journalism degree at this point. Like, or, like, whatever you want to do in whatever career, like, you do not need to have, unless maybe it's, like, engineering or something. Like, let me at least talk creatively. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you can just kind of pick your avenues. And for me, obviously, what I learned in school was so important. And I'm not saying don't go to school. So no one take that.
Yeah, drop out of school, kids. What? Yeah, yeah, you don't need it. You don't drop need out. It.
Do not come for me. I'm not saying that.
I will.
But I'm not saying that. Do not listen to that. But, like, what I did outside, like, working with DC United as an internship, and I did a couple of other internships, like, I learned so much from that, and that's where I build the connections. If I had an intern with DC, I wouldn't be here right now. Mm-hmm. I have no idea mm-hmm. what I would be doing. So, yeah, now I'm going on a tangent, but I hope that that's, like, I hope people hear that and, you know, are feel a little bit encouraged that you can create your own paths and your own avenues, and you can keep moving up that way.
Yeah. And speaking about creating your own path, pathways and your own avenues, let's talk about the DeMelo podcast, because, you know, that's something that you started on your own in addition to all the stuff that you have going on with DC United. So what made you get into this space? What made you wanted to start? And what are the things that you're specifically looking to highlight with the show?
So I am finally starting a podcast. And when I posted online that I was going to do it, I said that it's like this generation's equivalent of saying, like, dude, let's start a band, which is so true. I feel like maybe, like, our parents' generation, everyone, like, had bands. Yeah. So it's like now everyone has podcasts.
This is way cooler than being in a band, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, way
cooler. It's 100% cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that's what they told themselves too, though, at that point.
Music.
Who does that?
Who does that?
I had wanted to start a podcast for a really long time, and I kept putting it off because I'm like, there's so many podcasts, like, I'm just going to get lost in the mix of it.
Yeah.
And then I struggled with, well, what do I want it to look like? Because I'm a person who, like, I need everything to, like, look perfect. If I was to, like, miss a week of a podcast, I'd feel like a failure. I'd be like, oh, well, it's all gone to, like, hell. And, like, does it even matter?
It's over.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, don't be so freaking dramatic. Like, come on. So I'm, like, finally taking the leap of faith. And I'm like, listen, I know, like, I'm telling myself, I know it's not going to be perfect. I might miss a week or two. I don't know what my posting schedule is going to be like. I told you guys before this, I don't even know when the heck I'm launching. So, like, TBD on all that. But I'm finally doing it because I like having conversations with people. I mean, like, I feel like that's what people do with podcasts. Mm-hmm. They like having conversations with people. And I'm like, you know, don't worry about, like, the numbers or the engagement on social, like, do this for yourself. You enjoy having conversations. And I've been in this industry for so long now that as I was looking at, like, the people that I wanted to speak to, I'm like, I actually know a lot of people. Like, this will be cool. This mm-hmm. will be really great. Mm-hmm. And I filmed my first 3 episodes within, like, 2 days. And after those 3 conversations, I was like, I could never do another. Like, if these are the only 3 interviews I ever do for my podcast, it's a success.
Right.
Like, I enjoy them so much. I came out feeling so happy from the conversations. I even cried in one of them. Listen, I'm a crier, so I don't know how much
that's saying.
I cry over everything.
We can cry together.
I love it. And it was like so therapeutic. I came out of that conversation. I was like, holy crap, that felt a little like therapy.
Yeah.
And so, like, each conversation will be a little bit different. Like, part of the conversations, I want them to be, like we were just talking about, like, sometimes people can get lost with, like, oh, should I even get into journalism or, like, mm-hmm. you know, do writing or on-camera mm-hmm. stuff? Like, I want people to know in some of my interviews, like, the positions that they can strive for, because there's so many positions in the sports industry and there's so many things that you can do and so many avenues to take that I want the people that I've gotten to meet and work with talk about their experience and the types of jobs that other people can strive to have. I want to have conversations with people in the industry who have had the same struggles as me. When I had the conversation that felt therapeutic, like, I was like, holy crap. It was a woman also who was in MLS. And I was like, we've had the same experiences. Like, there's a lot of things that as a woman in the sports industry, men don't ever have to think about. And like, you know, other women are struggling in the industry, but until you hear it, you think that you're kind of alone. So, like, that was super therapeutic. And I hope that other women in the industry can hear that and, like, understand that they're not alone. It's so good just to be able to hear it. And then just to have like fun, engaging conversations. At the end of the day, we're kind of like entertainers in a way. So just for people to, I know like when I read, I just want to like escape reality. I want to escape the real world. So like also listening to podcasts is just like a way to just kind of turn off everything that's going on in life and just enjoy. It's like turning on like a movie or a TV show or something like that. So there's lots of different things that I hope that I can display and that people take away from the podcast that I launch. So yeah,
I love that. And I think that even the three, like you said, the three episodes that you've recorded so far, the fact that like you already had those experiences, those emotions coming out of it, I feel like that's how you know you're doing something that really connects with you, your passion, and what you want to do. And I feel like sometimes with us as well, like we're here interviewing people like you, talking to people like you, and we, for a little bit, like you kind of forget that the cameras are there and you're just having this cool conversation, getting to know someone that we wouldn't have been able to conversate with if it wasn't for technology, if it wasn't for us being able to do more things in such an accessible way because of the, you know, social platforms. And so I'm excited for you. We're rooting for you.
Thank you.
It's going to go great.
Thank you. I mean, for you guys, like, how has it been? You guys have been podcasting for a while, no? Like, you guys have been doing lots of episodes. Years?
Yeah. So this, we started, we restarted the podcast in a new format in 2022.
January.
February, I think. February.
No, we released our first episode February, recorded January.
We recorded, so our first recording was in January and released in February. Right. But we had a different format that we would do not so regularly, just basically whenever we could find a guest.
One-on-one.
Yeah, and then we stopped once the pandemic hit. The Believe Network, they have a bunch of shows covering all different sports and pop culture. They reached out to John Lee, who's the founder of Urban Pitch, and he was the previous host of the podcast. And they said that, you know, they saw our archive, they liked the stuff that we did, and they're looking for new shows to add. And now we've been doing it pretty regularly, like once a week. This will be our third year doing it, and we brought Bridget on, and she's just been
a fantastic addition,
even though she shows up late all the time. she ditches us to go to fancy dinners, you know, like
she shows up when she wants.
she's become the star of the show, though. She's become the star, bringing her on has been, you know, a big thing for us. But just kind of being in the space and like she said, like talking to people who, you know, we run into at, you know, whether it's a LAFC or LA Galaxy game out here, or, you know, seeing a player in person and getting to talk and be like chopping it up with them and just laughing and having conversations that I wouldn't have thought that I could have been having two years ago.
Exactly.
Is been a kind of a wild thing. And then, like, I know you said before, it's like, you know, starting a podcast is like, you know, like, I mean, when I say to people like, yeah, you know, I have a podcast, like, I just feel like, I don't know, like, there's still part of me that feels like, you know, it's weird. Just like, dude, like, grow up, man. Like, come on, like figure, like why are you doing
that? Get a real job.
Yeah. Like, like my dad, I was walking out of the house today, my dad was walking in. And I said, "Oh yeah, we're gonna film a podcast." And he goes, "That's how you dress to go to work? Like what's going on?" So like, still, it's like it's still, you know, I'm very thankful, and I think I speak for them too. Like we're so thankful to continue to be doing this for so long, and some of the experiences that we've had as part of this has just been, you know, so great to have.
It's
really nice. I mean, like the nice thing about like what we do is soccer is unfortunately not one of the biggest sports in the U.S.
Right.
So like there's obviously people that still want to get into this space, and there's still, I don't want to say competition because I don't like that. Like I think there's enough space for all of us
it's a variety,
whatever the heck we want. But there's still like there's more opportunities for us in the soccer space in the US as opposed to maybe like NFL or MLB, NBA, all that stuff. So I think that that's super, super nice.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that the thing about it too is, like you said earlier, just you don't have to have a journalism degree behind you to be able to have a platform like this. And I think that, like, it kind of when they asked me to do it, like to be on it, like officially as a co-host, I was a little nervous, and I was just like, I don't know, like I don't have a journalism degree, I don't have that background behind me. But it was just an opportunity that I was like, well, I get to explore a different side of like what I could potentially do on a, you know, long term, in a long term space. And it's given me so much opportunity to like grow my public speaking and also make connections with people that are doing work that I didn't even know existed. You know what I'm saying? Like meeting a lot of the players, but also, and for me, like, because it's more personal connection, like the women in sports, the Latinas in sports, like that has been, I would have never had those connections if it wasn't for the podcast, like being able to bring them in and interview them and talk to them and hear their story. And that has been so inspiring. And I'm super grateful that I'm on the podcast, because if it wasn't for this space, I wouldn't have known that there was opportunities for myself or for like my sister or my cousins that are Latinas, that are women that want to figure out what's next for them, you know. And now I get to tell them, like, look, I met this person, I met Claudia, she's doing this, and you can do that too if that's what you want to do. Like my sister right now is in college, and I'm like, girl, explore it all, like do it all, like
drop out
and come join the podcast.
We got a non-paid internship that we're gonna give you right now. Well, no money.
I got two things to say. First of all, they're coming after you for being late, but like Latinas, we're always right. Late to everything.
Right. So I'm on time.
Listen, Parents, I'll say this, and then I have something else to say. My parents, they always host Christmas at their house. That's the designated holiday that they host. And they always tell people like, okay, like it starts at 6. When in reality, 6 really means show up at 7 or 8. Uh-huh. So I have an aunt and uncle that always show up at 6. And it's like, we'll never say it's offensive, but it's a loser. Offensive. It's like,
roll up your sleeves and start helping prepare.
I feel that 100%.
Get to work, start moving the furniture around, start helping us set up the table and cook the food because nothing is ready. Right.
Literally. we just had a baby shower for my cousin, and my mom invited one of her coworkers, and she's American, she's white, and she's really cool, really sweet. And on the invitation, it said it started at 5. She showed up at 5 and we were still putting up decorations. So she started blowing up balloons. We were like, girl, no one told you to show up.
Get to work.
She had a birthday, her birthday brunch.
Oh my
brunch.
God.
She said, all right, we're going to do brunch at this restaurant. Show up at 11. Me, Roy, our producer, and my girlfriend show up at like 11:15, 11:30. I'm like rushing, you know, through traffic, trying to be like, oh, shoot, Bridget's going to be there. Like, we're going to be late. Like, we're going to miss all this stuff. We get there. I text her. Hey, we just got here. She goes, oh shoot, you guys are there already? Like, she was like an hour and a half late. We're just sitting there, like at the restaurant, just like, you know, like, hey, like, you know, what's
and then I felt so bad.
We're doing Surviving Bridget. All right.
It's so bad. It's so bad. I'm like, you know what? That's how I am. Listen, when I'm like about to be early to something, I get this anxiety. I'm like, this is weird.
This
so then I start to delay it. Then I start, I get the sudden urge when I'm doing something important. I have to go somewhere important. I get the sudden urge to like clean the house. I'm like, now I'm late. And I'm like, you know what? This is on brand for me. So why would I change it up?
Exactly.
It's like Latino thing though. Cause when I was playing Sunday leagues, like everybody said the game would start at 6 and they knew all the players were going to be late. So the coach would say at 6, but the game was actually at 7:30.
Yeah.
And people would still show up like at 7:25. Yeah. Like, it's a Latino thing.
It's right. just a habit.
It's unwritten. It's an unwritten. Right.
It's in our DNA. Like, we can't let it go. I don't know.
BPT.
That's how it is?
You got to take us for what we are, for who we are.
Yeah, BPT, brown people times. That's the whole thing.
Right.
That's how it is. You were talking about, this was the second thing I wanted to say. You were talking about, like, the Latino representation and everything that we do. And, like, one thing that I think is, like, a big, I don't know, area of growth or something that's kind of, I don't know if it's up to like fellow Latinas or Latinas like us to do, but I think that my mouth is dry. I'm like, hold on. I got things to say. I'm talking too much. Is that like there's English speaking media and then there's Spanish speaking media. And what happens is like they take all the Latinos and they throw them to Spanish speaking media. Mm-hmm. So then you don't see much Latino representation in like English speaking media. And like, look at us, like, hello, I'm speaking in English, but like, I'm still Latina. So like, I still want to see representation of myself, of people that like look like me, that sound like me, that can switch to Spanish whenever, that have an accent in their last name.
Right.
Like even just seeing like a Latino name in English speaking media, like, that still goes a long way. And I don't know if like major networks, you know, I definitely see it changing a little bit, but like, I don't know if major networks realize that like you can still hire the Latinos to do the English speaking content and media and all that stuff. I just want to see their name that looks like mine at the bottom of the title screen. Like, I just want to see someone that looks like me and all that stuff. So I think that's like a big area of growth. But I think, you know, like stuff that we're doing is so good to have the representation of people that look like us, sound like us, and all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a really good point, because it is super divided. And we love to see people grow. You know, like, we love to see our fellow Latinos, Latinas going into the sports world, but you don't really realize, like, but they're put into a one section, and then there's a whole nother section that hasn't been, and nowadays it is more diverse, but, like, it wasn't at some point, you know? And so I think as you're talking about that, for you, like, what has that experience been? What do you think has been your favorite thing about being a woman, being a Latina in the sports industry? And then also on the other end of it, like, what has been the most challenging thing that you think is still, you know, you're overcoming?
You're coming with a hard hand.
You know
questions.
What I'm saying?
Yeah. We got to warm you up. We have to warm you up. And then all of a
Look,
sudden, boom.
I might, come, to cry I might again. Be late, but I got the good question.
Oh, man.
She wants you to start crying again. She was like, yeah, we got yeah, you. Right, you were right, crying. Right, let's right. see
Don't
if it's
get
true.
Me crying. Don't get me. I refuse. Okay, I'll start with the positives, because I feel like that's a bit, I guess, more easier to think about on the spot. I didn't think that I don't want to say I didn't think that it mattered as much, but you know, sometimes it's hard to kind of give yourself the credit, and it's so easy to give other people good credit. Like, I could give you guys all the praise in the world, but then I look at me and I'm like, I can't say anything like, nice stop. About myself sometimes. I know, I'm like,
don't
no,
look at
no,
me.
No. But you know, it's been incredible to be in the position that I am with DC United, and like we're talking about, like, I can do some stuff in Spanish, but also just being able to do the English content, but still be a representation for Latinos and Latinas. Like, I'll talk about stuff that just happened this past week. We had a fan festival on Sunday. So last Sunday, and someone came up to me, and oh my gosh, like, you want to talk about crying? I started crying, because this guy came up to me. He's like, I'm Peruvian, and it's been so incredible to see you representing all the female Latinas as a spokesperson, as kind of like an ambassador for DC United. He's like, you know, I've got 5 kids, and like, you know, you're like an inspiration and someone for them to look up to be in this space. And it's just that, like, he was crying hard. His wife was getting him napkins, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna cry. So we cried like 5 times in a row in like the span of an hour. And then yesterday at the DC United home opener, I ran into 2 people, and they're like, we're fellow Boricuas, like, we're Puerto Rican, we cover sports in the area. And I was just talking to them, and they're like, it's so good to have representation as a Latino, but then also when you have Puerto Ricans that they're like, we're so happy to see a Puerto Rican that's using the same Spanish words, because guys, like, my Spanish is completely different than Spanish from other places. Yeah. Like, I had the DC United players, I gave them the Latinos that speak Spanish. I gave them a list of Spanish words that we'll use in Puerto Rico, which is a lot different. And they're like, these are all made up words. Like, what the heck does maones mean? What does grama mean? And I'm like, what do you mean? What does it mean? Like, these are simple words that I'll use on a day-to-day basis. And so just having that representation as a Latina, as a Latino, but also as a Puerto Rican who's using the words that Puerto Ricans will normally hear. And then yesterday, so I met 4 Puerto Ricans. I met 2 that did the do the coverage, and then 2 who are just fans, and just the connection. And all of them are just like, it's so good to have Latin representation in all the content that's going on, because it's still a very growing space. So it's, I don't give myself the credit enough, but it's good to be able to hear it from other people. And then before I got to DC United, we had Lucho Acosta, which I'm so sad that he's not with DC United. Yeah. That man had like Baller. A major glow up. Yeah. Went to Cincy. Killing it. I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, you guys wore Wooden Spoon for like 3, 4, 5 years in a row. What do you mean you guys almost won like MLS Cup last year? Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible. And I'm so happy for Lucho. And I think, I can't think of his name. Moreno was over there at Cincy as well. He'd been with us, Junior Moreno. So when I came to DC United officially full time, I did an interview with Lucho Acosta in Spanish, and someone was like, this is incredible. Like, this man has been a star player for so long. I've never heard him speak. I've never heard him answer questions like on DC United social media. And here it is. And I'm like, this is what having someone who speaks Spanish and can connect with these people, like, this is how we'll benefit you. And like, obviously there's Latinos in all sports, but when you talk about soccer, like, that is a global worldwide sport. Like, there are so many Latinos in MLS, and if you don't cover them, like, a lot of them can speak English, but to be able to give them the option to speak in their native language of Spanish, it changes things. Like, I can speak Spanish, but having to maybe tell my life story in Spanish, it's going to cost me a little bit more than it does in English. So giving them the chance to be able to be comfortable in speaking about whatever it is so good to have. So it's been incredible. And every single year with DC and just like on my own social media as well, because with my podcast, I want to cover more Latinos and give them the opportunity to be in the public space. But every year I try to do a little bit more and more with showcasing the Latinos that we have at DC United and all the coverage in just English and Spanish.
And then, I mean, like you said, the being able to interview someone in their native language also allows them to show off their personality a little
bit. Literally what I was going to
say. And kind of, like, because there's been this whole thing about... about, like, MLS needs more stars, MLS needs more, like, marketable people that aren't coming from Europe, that are, like, you know, younger up-and-coming players. And a lot of the up-and-coming players are, you know, Spanish-speaking players coming from, you know, South America or even coming from the U.S. And... if they're speaking in a language that's not comfortable for them, how can you expect them to be comfortable on camera and show off, you know, maybe they're funny, maybe they're, but if they're speaking in, and if they have to do more thinking than talking, then
they're restricted.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So
it was Wednesday when I saw Suarez do his first interview with MLS. He decided to do it in English. And I was like, that is great. So they go to Suarez and they're like, hey, do you want to do the interview? And he goes, so he starts talking to him in Spanish. He's like, no, in English. And he just goes on the full interview in English. I'm like, but it shows that they're diverse as well. So, but somebody can speak both languages.
Yeah,
help them open up even more.
Yeah, for sure.
It's incredible. I mean, I've got a different personality, and when I speak Spanish, I am more like quick. Like, I don't take any BS. Like, when I speak Spanish, I feel this. I don't know this. Like,
it just like hit.
there's something different, and I speak quick. I speak fast in English, but when I speak Spanish, like you probably won't be able to even understand.
They gotta run around to be able to catch up to you.
Also, you're doing great in the DMV with the Salvadorians, because we speak fast as hell in Spanish as well. So you got it.
It's a different personality, and I, you know, it's good also being able to like be in this space, because I've been able to like all our local stuff, all our local broadcasts before Apple. Like, I was doing the English side of things, but when I would get a Latino, I would also get to like translate, and that is hard. That is hard. Like, I still need so much practice, but like, I would look at a player, I would say, I would give the question in English, repeat it in Spanish. They speak to me in Spanish. I have to then remember what they said
and then translate it
in English while trying to remember what the heck I was going to ask next. That is the hardest thing. And I just like, I'm a person who sometimes blacks out when someone tells me their name. I, even when I say, what was your name again? To try to remember, my mind just like, nope, blacked out. And when I have to try to do the interviews, it's so difficult trying to like listen to them and know what they're saying, but then also trying to remember what I want to ask next. So that stuff was always hard. But that's also something good about having someone in the bilingual, who's bilingual in those spaces to be able to speak to those players after games. But Luis Suarez, that was after the Inter Miami game, the first one?
Yes.
When he came out speaking English, I was like, hell yeah. They switched between English and Spanish. But I think he answered all of them in English.
Yeah, they were trying to do it in Spanish. He was like, no, we're going to do this in English. Like,
which I'm surprised about, because like then you go to Messi and that man's like, I refuse to speak any other language but Spanish.
Right.
Like, that man is set in his ways, but it's Messi. Like, what are you going to tell him? No.
Well, yeah, he can't. You can't do that to him.
Exactly.
Claudia, we're running low on time, but before we wrap things up, I know, and when we were kind of discussing what we want to talk about music. So really quick, who are some of the artists that you're listening to? What's in your playlist? And then we can share some of ours, and then, and then we'll wrap things up.
Okay. So obviously I'm going to say Bad Bunny. Like, I'm Puerto Rican. I have to give my credit to Bad Bunny. But it feels so basic to say that. And sometimes I hate saying I listen. I'm like, Bad Bunny's my favorite artist. I'm like, that's so basic. Pick someone else. I do listen to Bad Bunny. Okay. Fade. Love Faye.
I love that man.
Love Faye. That man. That man is
yes. Up
he's
here.
Rising.
Calm
Carol
down,
G.
Bridget. Relax.
You're speaking Bridget's language. Right? Yeah.
Wait, who did you say next?
Carol G is on the list of
this is crazy.
This is her list. Same thing.
We're twins.
La Michota is doing her thing. Then I have to add this last person because I don't think everybody like listens to him. Lenny Tavares. I love. He's Puerto Rican.
Did you hear Lenny his Tavares. New song with Fade?
Yes. It's so good.
So good.
Listen, I think there's like no better feeling in the world than listening to a new song that just like slaps and hits and like
you're
driving
just, like, feeling it
and there is nothing better. But when I hear a Lenny Tavares new song, it's on another level. I don't know what it is, like his beats are just always solid. He collabs with great people, like I love Jake Quiles as well, like those people who aren't like
Girl, you're
as like
my
high
language.
Up there as listen we've got the same playlist. I don't need to show you mine because my playlist is
clearly
exactly
we're on the same vibe because Lenny Tavares, another thing about him too is he can dance. Have you I love watching his music videos because that man can move, like he knows what he's doing.
Lenny Tavares. That man.
I have a funny story. We went to LAFC game this Tuesday. I mean, LAFC event this Tuesday with Bridget. And one of the players was there, and she went on a whole 30-minute conversation to one of the players talking about how Carol G is the best, how Carol G is this, how Carol G is that. I'm like, all right, Bridget,
it's because she is. Like, she's doing her thing. She's independent. She's rising above everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to give her credit.
She is speaking for all the women with all the albums. She's especially with Mañana Será Bonito. Oh, that was just like solidified her as like the top female Latina artist.
And then her concerts and then everything she's doing with her foundation. Like, she is just, that's the type of people we need to be famous. Like, that, with that kind of heart, that soul.
You can't hate her. You can't hate her music.
She's beautiful. Like, she just has it all.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm like very sure her and Fade are together. So the two of them together.
And I'm all for that. I'm like, you know what? They go well. They're, you know, living together, like uplifting each other. That's the kind of love we need.
I will say, I'll add one more artist. I just listen to Spanish music all the time. Anuel, I know we're talking about Carol G and Fade. Yeah. And Anuel is the hated ex. Pero Anuel, he was my top artist 2 years in a row on Spotify. And like the first year that he was my top artist, I was like in the 0.01% of listeners of Anuel. I just love his music. I don't know what it like.
He's cold.
He can sing like slow songs. He can sing reggaeton, dembow, like whatever little musiquita he wants to put underneath his singing.
It comes
Chef's
out.
Chef's kiss.
I feel that.
I think we need to have a separate episode where we just go into
go through the music. Yeah.
Because I think this is like the, you know.
Honestly, that's a whole nother like episode that we can talk about and just kind of get into, because there's also so many artists that like are out there that are so underrated and have such great music. Tiny, he's one of my favorite producers. Yeah. He's so sick. I love that man. Like, I was on his album on repeat last year. I could not get enough.
He's the guy that everybody goes to. I will say, like, I obviously love that all of these people are Puerto Rican, so I will
emphasizing that.
Exactly. I'll be like, oh, you like this person? Did you know they're Puerto Rican? Oh, that person. They're also Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
I remember telling someone, they're like, well, what about this artist? I was like, Puerto Rican? And they're like, okay, well, what about that person? I'm like, Puerto Rican? And they're like, you're lying. I'm like, look it up.
It just hits different.
Yeah. So we'll set that up because I really hate to break this up because this is like exactly what we wanted to get into. But we'll have to save this for part two conversation.
I'm in.
We'll
do it all for you for your podcast. We'll do a whole episode.
Yeah. I mean, anytime. Hit us up. We're we'd love to have this because part of the reason why we started this was to highlight people like you in the space that have an appreciation for the culture, that have interesting perspectives that, you know, not everybody else has. And this couldn't have gone better, I think. Mm-hmm. And this is awesome to get to talk to you. So,
Claudia, congratulations on the new podcast. Yes. It's going
to
be crazy.
Huge congrats. We're rooting for you. Excited to hear it.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, guys. This has been so fun.
Yeah, so we will link all the Dimelo stuff in the show notes, the description, all that. Whenever this comes out, if it comes out next week, 2 weeks, in June and July, whatever. But we'll be supporting Claudia Pagan. Thank you so much for
and if you find the book, tag it on the comments.
Yes, and we're gonna find that book. We're gonna find the book.
If you find the book,
I gotta find
tag the link. Tag the link.
The
tag the link, y'all.
Nobody go looking.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, thanks again to Claudia Pagan for taking the time to join us. We had a lot of fun talking over that. We could have gotten an extra hour for that, but maybe part two in the works.
Yeah, so great choice of music. She didn't bring up Mark Anthony, so I'm a little upset. That's what I'm listening to right now.
Yeah, no, so we had to cut that off a little bit early, but I think we set up part two.
I think we set it up right.
Yeah,
We gave her a little alley-oop, and then we're going to finish it.
Yeah, so we're
going to
finish. Yeah, right. But we're all about... extending, building long-term relationships, not just a one-off thing.
You can't
give
it to them,
one. Not all at once. Yeah.
Gotta leave them wanting more.
Yeah.
Hey.
Exactly.
How I do it, baby.
Exactly. Bridget's not new to this. She's true to this.
Yeah.
She does it all, but long-term relationships.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Okay, but this has been the Urban Pitch Podcast, a beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. For Julio Matarazzo, hey, Bridget Flores.
MLS is back, baby. Shala.
We'll see y'all next week.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.